This audio recording is copyrighted 2011 by AboutFacts.net and its licensors. All rights are reserved. Preston Dennett is a UFO investigator that specializes in underwater UFOs, which are known as USOs. He has appeared on many UFO documentaries. He's also an author and has written 16 books, including the soon-to-be-released titles UFOs Over Nevada and UFOs Over New Mexico. He's also a field investigator for the Mutual UFO Network. It's great to have you back, Preston.
Thank you. Great to be here.
It seems that UFOs and USO sightings have been getting a lot more complex lately and are being seen by larger groups of people. Do you agree with this?
I do. I think there is an escalation of contact. Certainly there's no historical precedent for the kind of activity we're seeing now. We're having large, you know, waves of sightings over urban centers like the Phoenix Lights, for example, or the Hudson Valley Wave, things like this. I think this is pointing to what is an escalation of contact and leading towards, inevitably, I think, open official contact at some point.
Well, have you noticed that some of the UFOs themselves that would have been seen, the shapes of them are very unusual, to put it mildly.
Yes, you know, I've always found that really frustrating, too. I mean, we have different shapes for our cars and our vehicles, certainly, but there is almost no standardization among UFOs, and it's really kind of baffling to me. Are we dealing with multiple different races or... You know, it's really hard to say, but we don't get a lot of cases where we see the same UFO over wide varying locations. So there must be a lot of these things out there.
Yeah. It also seems like in different periods of time, you get different shapes. In other words, you'll see more of one shape for 20 or 30 years, and then, or even 100 years, and then all of a sudden you'll start seeing a different shape.
Right. Like back in the 1890s, there was a whole wave of blimp-like objects, airships, and we just don't have anything like that anymore. And now we're seeing a lot more of these really large triangular shapes, whereas back in the, you know, 50s, in that time, we had the typical flying saucer, you know, the round craft with portholes and that shape.
Right.
But we still get all kinds, though. They haven't gone away. We're still getting some airships and lots of those little round ones, too.
Well, I noticed that there seems to be a lot of round, fiery, orange-type objects in the sky in the last couple of years. Have you noticed that?
Yes, I have. And, you know, I speculate that these are just various factions of ETs. And I think ETs is absolutely the best theory to explain UFOs. You know, I understand that it's not proven, at least not officially and publicly, but... I do think that ETs is definitely the best theory, and if that's the case, then how else would you explain, you know, a certain type of craft sort of reconnaissing one area?
Right. What's your feeling about so many countries releasing their UFO reports? Do you think that we're getting the entire story or that the releases are being filtered?
Oh, absolutely they're being filtered. I don't think there's really much doubt about that. And it's unfortunate because the United States, we're way behind in the game. I mean, France, England, Mexico, Canada, a lot of the major countries have made really significant disclosures revealing that their governments are taking UFOs very seriously and that there's definitely something to it. On the other hand, the evidence is showing us that the United States and England and a lot of these other countries actually do have UFO hardware, have been able to obtain crashed saucers or craft. So, and that, we're not hearing about that, not officially. That's coming from whistleblowers and people who worked within the so-called secret government. And I mean, there is a cover-up, it's demonstrable, but the thing is, it's been a terrible failure. It's crumbling, it's leaking like a sieve. And it's going to come to an end sooner or later, and I think a lot sooner than people think.
I hope you're right.
I hope so.
Have you noticed any patterns to UFO and USO sightings?
Oh, yes and no. I mean, when I first got involved in this, I thought, well, UFOs are seen only in rural areas over, you know, some farm in Kansas or what have you. But that's not the case at all. In fact, the majority of sightings do occur over heavily suburban areas, heavily populated areas, which makes sense because that's where all the people are. And certainly there's a significant portion of sightings right over city centers, you know, right down in the heart of New York City or over Los Angeles or really places you would not expect to see them. You know, and I analyzed in terms of who gets contact, and it's evenly divided between men and women. I could not find any pattern with race, religion, education, or anything like that. The only pattern I could really find, and it seemed to be pretty significant, is people who are doing good work for humanity. And by that I mean, like, there's a lot of people who are having contact who are doctors or inventors or social workers or police officers or things like that. It's not a super strong pattern, but it's turned up enough where I'm like, there it is again. But, you know, for the most part, people who see UFOs are the ones who are outside. The night watchmen, the police officers, children, truck drivers, people driving late at night. That's the largest group of witnesses.
Well, you'll probably laugh when I tell you this, but I've found a pattern.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that pattern is smokers. For some reason, all of these smokers go outside now to smoke because they can't smoke in the buildings. And a lot of them are seeing UFOs, especially in Great Britain.
You know, I think you're right. Several cases are coming to mind where people step outside for a smoke.
Well, I noticed that about a year ago. I said, I can't believe this. A lot of the witnesses are smokers because they're now forbidden from smoking inside. So when they're on a night shift or something, they go outside, and while they're smoking, they look up in the sky. And those are the ones that seem to be seeing a lot of UFOs.
Right. You know, well, it makes total sense. I think that if you want to see a UFO, you have to go outside.
That's right. As the U.S. builds more and more secret craft, more of them are being mistaken for extraterrestrial spaceships.
Right.
Do you think that we have any craft now that can go underwater?
You know, I would not be surprised. You know, I have heard from, you know, inside sources, I'll call it, people within the military, who say that we do have these craft and are flying them around. And a USO is really no different from a UFO. It's just got the capability to go in and out of the water. And there's no reason that the UFOs that we've obtained or are flying around can't do that. You know, honestly, I've heard that like 20% of sightings may be our own craft. And as an example, Area 51, people have traveled there all from across the world, really, to view these UFOs flying over the base.
Mm-hmm.
It's likely those are our own, and that we're test flying these craft. And so, yes, I think some of the stuff people are seeing is our own, and I would not be at all surprised to find out that we have undersea bases ourselves. In fact, there was one abductee, Jean Robinson. She wrote a book about her abductions, and she was approached by a government guy who told her that we do have undersea bases. And that he was actually working inside one of these undersea bases.
Mm.
So we do, and I think I'm certain the aliens have undersea bases across our planet. So, you have to be careful when you see a UFO trying to decide whether it's our own or not. I think if you live close to a military base, the chances are much higher that it's our own. But if this object is chasing cars down the street, hovering over homes. Now, this is not military behavior. They absolutely would not be testing a craft and scaring the wits out of citizens and causing a publicity uproar.
You know, I wonder about that because I remember a case. I can't remember the names of the people that were involved, but it was a woman and her grandson and her daughter, I believe, in a car. And
wow.
A UFO followed the car, and the car got completely irradiated. Do you remember this case?
Yeah, it's Huffman, Texas, Betty Cash.
Yeah, and eventually she died of cancer. And It makes me wonder if that could have been an alien craft. I mean, I would have to think that it sounds more like a military test craft that was atomically powered, you know?
Yeah, I think that's the main theory that most of the investigators, the UFO investigators who have, you know, looked into that case, agree upon, because that was also being followed by a number of military helicopters.
Yes.
Not so much even followed, but escorted.
Uh-huh.
So when you see a UFO being chased by a jet, well, why would we chase one? But if it's being escorted, well, that's a different story.
Right, right.
And, yeah, that's an extraordinary case, and only one of, you know, 100 at least, where people have received what appear to be radiation burns or radiation sickness as a result of getting too close to one of these things.
Yeah, I tell you, I believe that what is going on there was that we, in the 50s, had decided to try and use atomic power to power planes. And while they canceled the project publicly, I think we probably went on with the testing.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure that there's most of the technology that we see that's within the public arena is decades and decades old. And a lot of the technology is being suppressed. And there's a lot of evidence of this. If you look into the whole history of inventions and things like this, it's shocking.
Well, it is, because if you do a little digging, you'll find out that in the 1950s, we were already capable of going at least four times the speed of sound. And you know, people don't know that, because most of the planes and all they talk about, maybe in those days, had a top speed of slightly under supersonic, you know?
Absolutely. So, yeah, I'm certain that you know, it's unfortunate, because here we are in possession of these basically free energy, these electromagnetic craft. We could solve three of the world's biggest problems literally overnight with one fell swoop. The energy crisis, the you know, global warming crisis, and the economic crisis. Boom, 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 we release this stuff, all of that would be swept away in one overnight. But it's not going to happen.
Well, it'll never happen, and the reason it won't happen is because you take, well, an example of the drug companies. They'd rather give you palliative care than cure your disease. You know, that way you keep buying pills. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, it comes down, money is the bottom line.
That's right, so they're never going to let you solve the energy crisis because they want you to buy the rest of the oil.
Right, well, that's what's driving this whole cover-up, I think, is just pure greed.
That's right.
Honest to God, and I don't know how much longer it can continue, because if these people want to remain in power, they're going to have to start releasing and disclosing, because there's enough evidence within the public arena now to convince any skeptic who's willing to look at it objectively. And we're going to get our hands on one of these saucers one day or another, you know, or video that's absolutely conclusive. Or for that matter, the UFOs are going to show up and end the cover-up themselves, which they could do at any moment.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I have an interview coming up on Friday with the great-granddaughter of President Eisenhower. Who contends that he knew and met with extraterrestrials.
Right, I'm really familiar with that story at Edwards Air Force Base.
Right, that was only one place, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, you know, we are having official contact with ETs already. I think that's what the evidence is showing us.
Oh, I think
so. It's just not been publicly revealed. And there's going to be a lot of latecomers coming, you know, realizing that all this has been going on for decades and decades. I remember when I got involved in research in 1988, which is, you know, over 20 years ago, I was shocked to find out how seriously this was being taken by our military, and it had been studied for 50 years already.
That's right.
And here we are, you know, 25 years later, and we're making progress, but it's awfully slow.
With all the denials by this country that UFOs are extraterrestrial, isn't it strange that the UN is appointing a space ambassador to deal with extraterrestrials?
Well, you know, I think their hand is being forced a little bit. You know, there's been a lot more, UFO researchers like Stephen Greer or Stephen Bassett who are trying to bring forth all these government witnesses, like whistleblowers, I'll call them. People who have worked at very high levels within the military and on, you know, certain industrial projects, who have are witness to all this, who have seen the crash saucers, who have, you know, worked with reverse engineering this technology. People like Colonel Corso, who released his book The Day After Roswell. And so, yeah, we're going to have to deal with this one way or another, and I think that's what we're seeing, is sort of a movement towards that.
Well, I'll tell you the way I feel. With Colonel Corso, there doesn't seem to be much evidence, you know. But with Bob Lazar, that's a whole other case.
Well, Colonel Corso certainly is a controversial figure, but no one has been able to disprove his credentials.
No,
for one thing.
No, they haven't, no.
And so he seems to be exactly who he says he was. And Bob Lazar, boy, he's just as controversial. But I looked into that, you know, doing research for this book, UFOs Over Nevada, and his story is absolutely corroborated by many, many other people.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. As a matter of fact, he withdrew himself from being interviewed because he's just so tired of being put down by the government, you know.
Yeah, you know, whenever anyone's viciously attacked, I think that it's kind of like where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah.
They came down in Gulf Breeze, that guy Ed Walters, really hard.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And but, again, it's a similar case. It's not just him. Take him out of the whole Gulf Breeze picture, and you still have an extraordinary wave of sightings taking place over that town.
Well, there's a whole huge disinformation machine out there pumping out all kinds of stuff. I mean, when they tried to discredit Bob Lazar, they forgot that they had left his, when they said it, that he didn't, never worked for Area 51, they forgot his name was in the phone book. Right. And that's how it was picked up by an investigative reporter that followed the case. And from there, he interviewed other people that had worked with Bob Lazar at Area 51.
Right, it's amazing. Like the Rendlesham Forest incident was leaked in a very similar way, and it continues to build. And like the Roswell case, these are cases that will not die. They're going to bust this whole field wide open one day, and we're going to see that Roswell craft in a museum. That's what I'm pushing for.
Yeah, that would be something, wouldn't it? Well, you know, I believe that you are familiar with Dr. Roger Lear.
Absolutely, yeah.
Roger Lear told me that he had a piece of a UFO. I don't know if you're aware of this. And that he had purchased it from somebody, and that he didn't know where it was because he had somebody hide it, and he told him, never tell me where it is unless I want to get to it.
No, I wasn't aware of that, but I am aware that there's a number of pieces floating around of, you know, the Roswell craft.
Uh-huh.
I know Bob White, he said he had a piece of a UFO and had it tested, and certainly there's a lot of these little tiny chunks floating around, but I want to see the whole craft.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I do, too. Yeah.
Why can't we? I mean, disclosure is not going to cause a huge upheaval in society, I don't think, in terms of, you know, psychologically. It will be an economic change, and but we need it. It's time. I don't think that we're going to be able to survive, honestly.
Well, the military has, you know, taken over everything in this country, and if they feel that anything could possibly ever be used for a weapon, no matter what benefits it might have to the human race, we'll never see it unless there's a change.
Right, right. Boy, the size of our defense budget could wipe out our economic crisis, and we'd still have plenty of money left over.
Yeah, and so, if you knew what the defense budget really was, you'd probably die from a heart attack. Half of it is hidden in other places.
Honestly, yeah. We don't even know how large it is.
There was a theory that advanced technology is being given to us by leaking it to us a little at a time, and so that we think we discovered it. Do you think that this is true?
That's what seems to be happening. I mean, according to Colonel Corso, that's exactly what's happening. I don't know, though. We are seeing definitely a really kind of a geometric progression almost of a technology. I mean, look at our cell phones. That's straight from Star Trek. And I heard recently that they've got devices which can read people's credit cards from a distance. So
they've had those for a long time.
Yeah.
I remember 20 years ago where I worked, they were giving out these cards, and the idea was they always knew where you were by tracking you, and while a card was in your wallet.
Is that right?
Yeah.
See, So, yeah, I think the technology is definitely being dribbled out bit by bit. And this is, you know, another thing I've been researching is, you know, this is where I think the biggest potential for pay dirt within UFO research is investigating the government cover-up and what's going on with the reverse engineering of UFOs, because there's people coming out of the woodwork now saying that we have stuff that's straight out of Star Trek, just beyond the wildest science fiction.
Oh, yeah, Bill Rich said that. I think his name was Bill Rich. I don't know if his first name was Bill. But the guy that was the second person in charge of the Skunk Works that died, Ben Rich.
Right, right.
He said that on his deathbed. He said that, well, you probably know all of that, but he said that we're capable of bringing E.T. back home to the stars.
Exactly. And I mean, these are people who aren't no slouches. I mean,
that's right. And then look how long ago that was he said it. That's another thing.
Exactly, which makes... And the government cover-up is still going on. That's what really bothers me. I mean, what happened in Stevensville in Texas just, you know, a couple of years ago now. A wave of sightings over this small town, and the military just bungled it. The Air Force first denied that they were there. Then when we found out they were there, they lied about it. They changed their story, and they ended up even threatening witnesses not to talk.
Sounds like Roswell.
It does. It does. This is just a simple sighting, which was confirmed on radar, and absolutely confirmed on radar, corroborated with the sightings and leading directly towards President Bush's ranch in Crawford, whatever that means.
Right.
So it's odd. There's so much going on that we're not hearing about. We're just getting the tip of the iceberg, and the tip is incredible enough.
When we turn on the TV and we look at UFO documentaries, we're often told about the Nazca lines and what looks like a landing strip on the plateau. One of the most interesting things about it is that it seems to have been created artificially by cutting off mountaintops, and yet there's no rubble. What do you think about that?
You know, I wish we could know more. Those things are just tantalizing bits of evidence, and certainly there's a lot of evidence that ETs have been visiting the world for thousands of years. And there's those carvings that look just like the shuttle. There's all kinds of cave paintings, and it just goes on and on in all different cultures. And all different cultures, of course, have legends of wise beings coming from the sky. But on the other hand, you know, absolutely, that could be evidence of ETs, but it's not like now it seems much more pervasive. Perhaps it's just because we're a more advanced society. We're much more a global, one-world culture. But it seems to me ETs are here in larger numbers than they've ever been before. And we just don't have any stories of, you know, the abductions and the landings and the kind of numbers that we're seeing now historically. So I think that we're at a real crux here. I'm not sure why the ETs are so interested in us, but they certainly do seem to be.
Well, there's one theory that states that the human race at one time was much further advanced than we are now, and that we were destroyed. We were bombed back to the Stone Age, and that we had bases on the moon and maybe Mars, places like that, and that some of the humans were able to get away, and that what we're seeing now is these people coming back and checking us out and trying to get us up to snuff.
You know, not as implausible as it might sound, because certainly there's the theories of Atlantis and Lemuria, and there's been some really strange things found, which appear to be, you know, like a battery in a rock.
That's right.
Things like that. And I always think to myself, well, if these ETs look like us, I mean, there's human-looking ETs, as I'm sure you know.
Right.
That's been
the Nordic ones, yeah.
Right. What does that say about human origins? I mean, did we even evolve here? I don't know. And if these gray-type ETs are interbreeding with us, well, that would seem to indicate that we have some sort of a genetic link to them. And I've talked to 3 or 4 witnesses at least and read dozens of times that the ETs have told witnesses that they were, in fact, involved in a war and that they did suffer genetic damage, and that's why this whole, you know, in particular with the grays, That's why they're abducting people and taking their genetic material and trying to replenish their race.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if you look at the Greys, they do look like they've had genetic damage.
Right. Well, they certainly look different, that's for sure.
So I think, yeah, we're probably ETs as much as the ETs are. And God, I do believe that our human civilization on Earth stretches much, much, much farther back than certainly mainstream science has accepted.
It's been said that the world's navies have the most UFO data, because our planet obviously is mostly water, and so many USOs and UFOs are seen coming out of the water, going into the water. Do you think that the world's navies have important UFO and USO information, and do you think that these reports get into any releases?
You know, I'm so glad you asked that, because, you know, if you track down this whole UFO cover-up and who's behind it, and I would think it would be the Army or, you know, the Air Force, but no, it always seems to lead back to the Navy.
Absolutely,
which that really surprised me, honestly. I was not expecting that, and I think that they're the ones who are ultimately behind this, because remember, these are not elected officials. These are people within the military who are, you know, there for life if they want, and they have endless funds, you know, and I do believe that they are the ones who are behind this whole UFO cover-up and behind the whole reverse engineering and behind the whole orchestrating the whole thing to the extent of their abilities to do so. And as far as our planet being, you know, mostly water, this is, I think, why we are seeing a lot more USO activity now. We're not even seeing, we're noticing it for, I think, the first time. It's been largely ignored, but it looks as if we've been looking in the wrong direction, looking up towards space rather than down into our oceans, where all these craft are apparently hiding or using as a base, and they can be there in very large numbers and we would never know.
Well, there's a rumor that some of the admirals in the U.S. Navy were responsible for leaking the information that the U.N. had a three-day meeting about UFOs. Did you ever hear that?
No, I haven't heard that specifically, but I'm certain that within the secret government that there is dissension and that there are some people who want all of this exposed, who want, you know, there to be a kind of openness and honesty to the whole UFO situation. And so I would imagine that there is controversy within the, you know, the whole cover-up structure itself, which is why we're seeing so many whistleblowers and people coming out, you know, not on their deathbeds often, but sometimes much sooner than that, revealing all this stuff.
Do you think that we have a space fleet?
You know, I could only speculate. I would be shocked if we didn't have something that we're not being told about. And if we do have access to this technology, I would imagine that, yes, we probably do. And are we traveling to other stars? That's really hard to say, because I've heard, you know, differing reports. Some people say, yes, we have. There's Project SERPA and other rumors that we've, you know, traded with ETs,
yeah,
and we're going to different stars. But on the other hand, there's a lot of reports saying that we've been barred from space, forbidden by various races from actually doing anything of any significance out there beyond, you know, our own planet.
That'd be a smart thing to do. Keep us out of it.
Well, we're so warlike, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's what's stopping open official contact, is we're just so darn prejudiced against each other. We're killing each other for over religious reasons and just awfully silly reasons. And ETs are not going to come down here looking like they do, much different than us in some cases, and expose themselves to that kind of terror. So I think it's our own selves that are kind of preventing this open official contact, which could prove to be really devastating for us if it did happen anyway, because we know what happens when an advanced culture confronts a much less advanced ones, just like, you know, with the Europeans and the Native Americans. We wiped them out. It was a Holocaust.
Right.
I don't think that's going to happen, but it could be a cultural Holocaust, if you know what I mean.
Well, Gary McKinnon, you know, the famous British hacker, claimed that he had found the names of officers that were stationed on ships out in space.
That's such an extraordinary case. And he's a perfect example of someone who's being really viciously attacked because I think he's got the truth of what's going on with NASA and all these other places. And, yeah, that's amazing. So, you know, that's some. Those are those little bits of tantalizing evidence we're seeing that are we're forced to sort of build this jigsaw puzzle piece by piece, which is totally unfair. It's an unconstitutional what the secret government is doing. I'll call it the secret government because I don't know what else to call it. I think it's quasi-governmental, probably run by, you know, very wealthy families, rich corporations, and certain aspects of the military, and even with the ETs working in concert with them. So it's a very difficult situation and very complex.
Well, the name Rockefeller has come up a million times in this. Every time you do any research into, you know, any of the secret government or MJ-12 or anything like that, the name David Rockefeller usually comes to the surface.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And that's what I'm talking about, these rich families who have wealth beyond what we can even really imagine. And so I think that they are absolutely aware of what's going on and are part of the MJ-12 group and PI-40 or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, Bilderbergers. Yeah.
So it's unfortunate, but like I said, I think there's people within this structure that are trying to get the information out. And we're at a point in history now which is really exciting and extraordinary because we could have open official contact and we could have our governments just pouring forth this information. It's going to, I think we're going to have to pull it out of them. It's going to be a civil war like the, you know, like the civil rights movement. It didn't happen voluntarily. So it's going to happen, but I think it's going to be a struggle.
Now, do you think that there's been any advancement in UFOs and USOs since they were first pictured on cave walls thousands of years ago? Because some people are starting to say that even if extraterrestrials are far more advanced than us, they have become stagnant as far as technology goes, and that they're here because they feel that we can give them a fresh approach after we're brought up to their level of technology.
That is an interesting question, one which I've never really considered before, because I don't think we've really been aware of UFOs to say how that they've changed all that much over the years. I mean, certainly, I don't know. That's a good question. You know, I'll have to think about that.
Okay.
I'm thinking of the airships, you know, and back in the 1890s, and those were a lot more primitive. Some of these UFOs made noise. They looked like Zeppelins, and...
Well, I never bought into the airship theory. I always felt that what was going on there was so many people on the verge of discovering blimps and things like that, rigid airships, and they were experimenting in their garages and things. And then,
right.
You know, they might have built one here and there, even though they didn't get officially recognized.
That would make more sense, I think. Than it being ETs from other planets, because it just doesn't fit the pattern.
No, it doesn't really. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
They kind of faded away pretty quickly after that one.
Yeah, there was only a pocket of time, like from about 1870 to, I don't know, maybe 1910 or something, where these things were seen, really.
Yeah, and they were invented in 1901, was it, 1904?
Yeah, around that period. Well, they had balloons way before that. But the rigid airship was invented around that time, I believe.
Right. So, yeah, I think that's the best theory we got.
Have you ever come across any evidence that any countries are using extraterrestrial technology?
I personally, no. I think the best evidence we have is, you know, people like Bob Lazar or Colonel Corso and the actual technology itself. You know, Kevlar... That material Colonel Corso said was reverse engineered from UFOs. I had to laugh when I heard that because I've had so many witnesses tell me that when they saw a UFO and they were right up next to it, you know, 10, 20 feet away, that it had this weird sheen to it, a kind of a flat black metal appearance in which the metal wouldn't reflect. And I've had a dozen people tell me it reminded them of Kevlar.
Huh.
And I'm like, wow, well, there's that word again. That's very interesting. And, you know, things like night vision goggles, the whole computer, all these computers. You know, when I was going through school, that's when computers were kind of released. And just to see this kind of technology completely transformed things. And it looks like alien technology.
Well, you're right, because when I went to college, which was a long time ago, I was working with mainframes, too. You know, they didn't have home computers. Matter of fact, I had one of the first home computers. It was just a little tiny computer called a Sinclair. I don't know if you ever heard of it. It had 1,000 bits of memory, and it had software where you could create a clock on a screen, but only with one hand because it didn't have enough memory for the second hand, you know?
Right. Well, it makes me wonder what kind of technology is just waiting in the wings to come out. I mean, these electric cars, the whole history of electric cars is fascinating, how that technology was squashed.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And so I'm thinking we probably have something way beyond electric cars.
Oh, I'm sure we do. I'm sure we do. As a matter of fact, I interviewed one of the inventors of the air car. And I don't know if you ever heard of that. It's they have them in India. They actually run, and they run on compressed air. And a standard engine is capable of doing this.
Yeah, I remember reading some guy, Mahler, I believe was his name, M-O-L-L-E-R. He had all the designs ready. He was to release a bunch of air cars and never heard anything again.
No, I know people that actually put in for a dealership. Tata Motors was supposed to, from India, was supposed to make them over here. But then you just didn't hear anything more after that, you know?
Well, can you imagine what that would do to our society to be able to travel like that? Property values would flatten out. They would no longer be expensive in the city because you could travel, you know, a couple hundred miles and have a home out in anywhere, really.
Well, the point is, even if they only had the range of a pure electric car, you still didn't have to spend much money to recharge them, and it was a lot faster. You know,
I don't know why we don't release this. It's just frustrating to me. I mean, I know it's greed and
Maybe I shouldn't have told you this. I didn't want to upset you.
No, this is what motivates me to get this information out, because I think if enough people know what's really going on, we can, you know, enforce the will of the people and get this stuff, you know, at least start throwing some money and time and effort into the UFO investigations, which it desperately needs.
It's now being said that we have found a way around Einstein's theory that states that we could not ever reach the speed of light because of the increase in mass, and that we have found a way to keep the mass down and therefore pass the speed of light. Have you heard about this?
Not in any direct way. I mean, I've certainly heard about it, but it would make sense because we are being visited in large numbers by these UFOs, and the main reason skeptics always say, oh, the stars are too far away, and I know about that. What happens if you try and approach the speed of light and your mass becomes infinite? It seems like an impossible obstacle. So the way these UFOs are traveling is not even really flying, I don't think. I think that they are traveling interdimensionally and have found a way to basically wormhole their way from star to star, and that probably takes them just a couple of minutes to do extraordinary distances. And I agree that there's probably a loophole there or an error or something overlooked within that theory of Einstein's, because that's what the evidence is showing us.
Well, I don't know if you've heard about an energy dimension. Have you ever heard that?
Well, not specifically, no. I mean, I've heard that there are many multiple dimensions going up higher and higher in a vibration, I guess, is the word that's most often kicked around, though I'm not exactly sure what that means.
Vibration has to do with the shape of the waves coming out of the energy dimension. And when they reach a certain frequency, that's called vibration. But anyway, certain people, such as John Hutchinson, he's an inventor from Canada, have shown that they can tap into this energy dimension and actually move different things on the Earth with it. I don't know if you're familiar with this.
Yeah, the Hutchinson effect. I have heard that.
Right. And he hasn't been able to make it reliable yet. But when he gets it to work, you can see these different things happening, you know. The trouble is that when he does an experiment, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, which means only that, you know, our understanding is incomplete.
Right.
Exactly what's going on. So that's amazing. Yeah, I think we're going to start seeing more and more of that kind of thing. You know, there are accounts, I think, in one of Timothy Good's books about people who were taken to a room that's run by the government where they have anti-gravity devices, and they were able to float across this room, literally. So we have all the technology here already, the gravity drives, whatever you want to call it, anti-gravity.
Oh, yes, the Germans were working on that during World War II.
Yeah, can you imagine? I mean, there must be a... It's a schizophrenic situation. We have this underground secret society living right among us.
Are you aware of the fact that Timothy Good states that he has actually spoken to aliens?
Yes, I heard of that, and he had at least one encounter with a human-like E.T., which he wrote about. I don't know beyond that, though.
Well, he told me that... what he did was he went into the lobby of a hotel.
Yeah, that's the incident I'm thinking of.
Oh, okay. And he sat in a chair and he tried to send out a thought message to see what would happen, that he wanted to be contacted by an ET. And he said within a half hour, somebody sat down next to him and sent him back a thought message saying, "What did you want?"
Yeah, I think that there's a lot more human-like ETs walking among us. When I wrote my book, UFOs Over New York, that's one of the themes that really stuck out, was the 10 or 20 cases where people saw ETs walking on the street. And sometimes these were human-looking, other times, no. They were like a lady who saw a gray-type alien on a subway, of all places. Nobody seemed to notice it.
Well, apparently there was some kind of shielding that she...
Apparently, yeah.
Yeah, that she got through some way or another.
And there are cases like that in Nevada and, you know, California, New Mexico. So this is absolutely going on.
It doesn't surprise me. Recently, WikiLeaks has released a document stating that there is a vortex in the Gulf of Aden, and that has been there since the year 2000. But in the year 2008, it started to get bigger, and the U.S. Called this to the attention of the rest of the world, and they've all sent ships over there, and it's been reported that there is a lot of USO activity in the area, and that fleets of USOs can be seen coming and going out of the water there. What do you think of all of this?
I think it's extraordinary, and I have to applaud WikiLeaks for getting a lot of this information and other type of information that we should know out. And look at how viciously that they're being attacked, that guy.
You know, what a frame that was. I mean, that was so transparent to the whole world.
I hope so, because that's, again, what I always look for. When anyone's getting viciously attacked from all sides after doing something like this, well, you have to wonder... He must be really making some people angry. And, yeah, I think that you're right. Just the USO activity is something else. We're just now becoming aware of it, and it's the perfect place for these things to hide, because we don't have anything that can go in and out of the water like that, and certainly we can't go down to great depths with the ease that these things can. So it's very, very interesting what's going on right now.
Well, what was I going to say? I forgot. You know, the problem is when you answer a question, sometimes other questions come to my mind that I don't have in front of me, you know?
Boy, the subject, it's just so complex, this subject. I mean, you could specialize on one aspect of just, say, UFO propulsion or landing trace cases. There's some 3,000 landing
trace cases. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I remember now what I was going to ask you. Julian Assange, you know, the director of WikiLeaks, claim to have some sort of UFO documents that he's going to have released if anything happens to him or anybody on his staff. Have you heard that?
I have heard that there were that he was holding documents. I didn't know about any release potentials. But boy, you know what? It's so amazing. I mean, we're going to start seeing some stuff that's going to really knock people's socks off. And I hope he does release it. I really do. And let the chips fall where they may. Because whoever is doing this cover-up, it's just... It's infuriating. It's appalling.
Oh, yeah. And what surprised me was there was actually, I think it was a senator, that demanded that Assange be executed. Did you see that?
No. I have not heard that. But, boy, can you imagine? It just gets me so angry when I think about this stuff. And
There's a lot of talk on the internet about three spaceships heading this way that are supposed to reach us in December of 2012. Have you heard about this, and what are your thoughts?
No, I haven't heard about the three spaceships. I haven't heard that at all, actually. So I'll have to look that up. But I'd certainly get asked a lot about 2012, which, as near as I can find out, is related to two main things: the Mayan calendar and Nostradamus. And while, you know, possibly there could be a huge event coming up, and that theme does come up with UFO abductees and UFO contactees. It's pretty prevalent as well. I'm not sure we're going to see any world-shaking single event. I think we're probably going to see just an escalation of a change within society, of perhaps a lot more natural disasters as we continue to destroy our planet, and hopefully a turning towards against war and having a new age is what I would hope for. But I think it's going to be like the year 2000. We're going to have a huge panic. It's going to be a giant media blitz, and the next day we're all going to go to work and go, well, now it's 2013.
Well, I thought, I read something I thought was very interesting. I have no way of verifying it. Supposedly, there was some kind of a light or a vortex over Norway, and the U.S. government rushed President Obama to his bunker, and Putin was rushed to a bunker. And the name of Obama's bunker was 2012 Alice.
Oh, interesting. You've got some interesting connections, don't you, to hear all this stuff? Because I haven't heard that. No.
Well, you didn't, huh? Oh. I didn't think I could tell you anything you haven't heard.
But, yeah, I do believe the president has probably been informed on some level of the UFO situation. And I would hope that our leaders are well informed. But I'm not sure that that's even the case.
Well, I found it unusual that 2012 would enter into the name of anything with the president, you know, because it seems to indicate that the government is thinking about 2012 in some way.
Well, it's a good idea to be prepared for disasters, and because that theme turns up constantly in UFO accounts. When someone's taken on board a UFO, the most common thing that they report is being examined, of course. But the second most common is warnings of upcoming natural disasters, of nuclear proliferation, the dangers of pollution, and all the pollution that's in our body, which is apparently why we're having these anal probes and all this probing being done, because they're measuring the level of pollution within our body. At least this is what I've been told by the abductees, a half dozen times at least.
Well, I believe that the cattle mutilations are being done by us, not by aliens, and the reason they're being done is because of all the nuclear explosions we've conducted in the Midwest, over 1,000.
Right. It corresponds exactly to the contaminated areas.
Yes.
Exactly. So that seems to be very strong correlation.
And there's a lot of reports that people have seen helicopters that have been made to look like UFOs.
Right.
And these helicopters are the ones that are dropping the cattle back to make this whole thing much more mysterious.
Yeah, but I think they're trying to scare people, in fact, and like you say, make it look mysterious. And it's what a situation we have going on. It's quite a bit of work that needs to be done in terms of UFO research and ending this cover up and changing the world to the way it needs to be to survive.
It's also being said that we have been in an ongoing war with USOs in the Antarctic Ocean, and that we have gone to our top military alert over this a couple of times. Have you heard about this, and do you think it's true?
No, I haven't heard about a war going on. I know that there's been confrontations and that things like that. But as far as actually, you know, a war, as far as I know, we've been warned out of certain areas. And that's one of the areas that we're, and like off the moon, that's another area that we were basically warned off of to stay away from. So I think there are certain areas we're just not being allowed to go near.
Well, when we talk about wars, there's also another rumor that says that several alien races are at war somewhere about 50,000 light years from the planet Earth. Have you heard that one?
No, I've heard, you know, someone asked me that years ago, and I looked into it about any aliens at war with each other. And I found a couple of cases. There was one, the abduction case at Buff Ledge, a book written by Walter Webb. And the abductee said that the aliens told him that they were at war with another alien race. And that was one of the best cases I could find of that kind of thing. But for the most part, you know, they seem to be cooperating. There's, at least this is what I keep running across with the people that I'm talking to, the abductees, who are seeing human-like ETs working along with grays, who are working along with the praying mantis type. Mm-hmm. Whereas the only kind that's really not cooperating with everyone is the
reptilians.
Right. Mm-hmm. So if there's a war going on, it's with the reptilians who are, you know, don't have a good reputation for the most part.
Well, from what you hear, there seems to be several different types of grays, and they all seem to be subservient to some other race. Have you heard that?
Yeah, and I think that's probably the case. I think that there are some grays that are not even what we would call entities at all, but are closer to androids or robotic type things. And certainly there are a lot of cases of robotic beings coming out of UFOs. So I do think that that would be the much smaller grays, the 3-foot kind. Mm-hmm. But there's the 5-foot tall grays who do seem to be actual beings, and are sometimes described as unemotional, but are sometimes described as emotional as well. So we have different types within that group as well.
Well, when you say robotic, are you referring to biological robotics or mechanical robotics?
Biological. But I think there's, you know, mechanical as well. Certainly that's very common. But a lot of people tell me that these little grays don't even seem to be alive, some of them.
Mm-hmm.
There, like you say, there's different types of grays. I'm going to say, you know, the hundreds of people I've talked to who claim to have seen ETs, 80%, maybe 70% see some version of these gray-type beings. And most often it's the 5-foot tall ones, 4 to 5 feet tall, very slender. I think you know the description well. And they, as far as who's in charge of them, well, I do get accounts of the praying mantis type, and they seem to be the ones who are in charge. But again, they're much less common for whatever reason.
A lot of people are saying that 2011 is going to be the big year for UFOs and that we might even make contact. This presumes that we haven't already. Do you believe any of this?
You know, when I got involved in UFO research in 1988, 86 is actually when I started, but prominently in 1988, there was open disclosure, rumored to be happening. The aliens were going to show up, and it just never happened. And that rumor has not stopped. And it seems to crop up every couple of years, and here we are again, and I'm hearing it again, and I'm thinking, I'm getting a little skeptical. But, you know, on the other hand, there does seem to be an escalation of contact, like I mentioned earlier, over major city centers. Look what happened in Mexico, over Mexico during the solar eclipse.
That's right. All of a sudden, thousands of UFOs appeared in the sky.
Right, and they were being videotaped by hundreds of people from, you know, varying locations, hundreds of miles separate from each other. So they were not hiding there. That was open official contact. as close as you can take it without actually landing. And remember, they did try to hover over the White House, and what did we do? We chased after them. We sent our jets, our military jets, after them. And so, you know, people will say, oh, why haven't they landed on the White House lawn? Well, they almost did twice in the 1950s.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what we're going to see. And I think the ETs do want to make open official contact. And I think that they're interested in, you know, I don't think there's any evidence that they want to take over our planet. I don't think that there's any evidence that they're truly hostile in the way that, you know, there's no Nazi-like behavior. There's no evidence of sadism when people are being, you know, abducted and things like this. Human behavior is much more hostile than ET behavior. On the other hand, I don't see any evidence that they're here to save us from, you know, all the nasty diseases we have and all the problems that we have socially and so on. So I think that they are interested in us and want to help us, but can only do so to a limited means. Mm-hmm. Without, you know, destroying our culture. And that's what they're trying to do. I think they're trying to get us used to their presence and as much as they can without completely collapsing our culture.
There are a lot of indications about, you know, USO bases under the oceans. We've spoken about that. But this has led some people to question whether UFOs actually come from outer space. Some of these people claim that the UFOs and USOs are from inside the Earth. Do you think that this is possible?
Well, I do think it's possible. I've looked into the whole hollow Earth thing, and I was kind of shocked to see that there's quite a bit of evidence to support it. And yet it flies in the face of mainstream science in a lot of ways, so it's really hard for me to wrap my head around. And on the other hand, you know, like I mentioned earlier, we don't seem to have any historical precedent for the waves, just the high levels of UFO activity we're having now. And if you look back to 1930s, 1920s, there's nothing there. Whereas in the 1940s, late 1940s in particular, coinciding pretty much exactly with the atomic age, we had a wave of sightings that has never been recorded before in the history of our planet, a super wave, I'll call it. And that's when USOs started showing up in large numbers, UFOs. That's when we started having landings. Even abduction cases hadn't even begun in the 1940s. So I do think that they came from somewhere, and it's hard for me to imagine that they were hiding out on Earth all this time, just waiting for us to, you know, invent nuclear power. I think what happened is it was the atomics that attracted the ET presence in large numbers, and that they are coming from outer space. But on, you know, having said that, the evidence is very strong that they do reside within our planet in various bases, like here off the coast of Southern California, which has an extraordinary amount of USO activity. And I could write a book on just the cases in this area alone where, you know, I live. I think that there's an undersea base there. There's certainly lots of reports of other underground bases across the United States. Area 51, supposedly, has housed aliens who are working there with humans. Edwards Air Force Base. Mount Shasta, supposedly, is where ETs have a base. And numerous other places across the world, for that matter. Puerto Rico has often been listed as having an undersea base.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that later.
Yeah, I think that they're here. I think that they've got bases. And there's on the other side of the moon, I think that there's evidence of that, and from widely varying sources. I remember the first time I heard about bases on the moon, I'm like, no, I can't buy that. But I keep hearing from other sources that people have seen photographs of this base. People have, you know, there's all kinds of bases, yeah.